Well, it's good to see everybody, and I am very, very, very excited about this new series, and I'll tell you why I am particularly excited about this new series in just a minute. But if you are joining us online, or if you're joining us on television, or you're joining us from one of our other Atlanta churches or one of our strategic partner churches, we're thrilled that you're here joining us today. And if at any point in this message you kind of lose track, or you fall asleep, or you start doing something else, and then you get to the end and think, oh, I think I missed something. If you go to justaskit.org, this message will be up there as long as there's an internet. And as you know, all of our messages, we put them online, but at justaskit.org, this entire series will be there. And this is going to be one of those series, like a lot of our series, where you're glad you're here, but you start thinking about that person that's not here that really needed to hear that. In fact, most of us in most sermons throughout our lives think that, right? It's always, I wish so-and-so would hear this. So anyway, we'll post all of these there. If you're in a small group, we're going to associate questions with each of these messages. You go to this website, download the questions, and by tomorrow you'll have the questions and your small group can track along with us and process through this content together. Now, the name of the series, as you probably already know, the name of the series is Ask It, and the subtitle kind of says it all. This is the question that answers just about everything. The question that just answers just about everything. I'm going to teach you one single question, and for the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about it. And the reason we're going to spend 6 weeks talking about one question is because my hope and our prayer is that this question will become a centerpiece to all of your decision making into the future. And it's a question that's going to bring clarity to some of the life's most complex situations. It's a question that's going to bring clarity to you specifically, because as we'll see today, it can become a very, very personal question. It's a question that's going to save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of tears. And that should be enough if that's all we said, right? This is a question. In fact, if this is a question you had been asking out throughout your lives, it would have already saved you a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of tears, and a lot of emotional heartbreak. And in fact, if you go back to your greatest regret in life, that season that was your greatest regret as a season, a relationship that's your greatest regret, or maybe just a night that's your greatest regret, a spring break week, you know, that was your greatest regret. If you were to go back to your greatest regret and you were to superimpose this question over that moment of your life or that season of your life, you would probably have been able to avoid your greatest regret simply by asking, processing, and applying this one question. Now, before I give you the question, I want to talk a little bit about it. I want to tell you how I bumped into it, and then we're going to look at the New Testament, a passage in the New Testament, and I'm going to help you discover it today, and then for the next few weeks, we're going to tease this thing out and try to apply it to just about every area of life. I bumped into this, believe it or not, 25 years ago, and the reason I know it was 25 years ago, Sandra and I were talking about this last night. Sandra was a student at Georgia Tech, and I was a few years older, and I was invited to speak at a Bible study. Of course, you know, surprise, surprise, I met my wife at a Bible study. How shocking is that, right? Anyway, she's a student at Georgia Tech. They had a campus Bible study. The tennis coach invited me to come fill in for the person that normally did the Bible study because she was traveling. So I went and filled in, and that's the night I met Sandra. And this is what I was talking about. This very question was the talk, and fortunately for me, she didn't apply it and went out with me anyway, and so we ultimately got married, so I'm glad she kind of had a brain freeze. Anyway, so we met. So last night when we were talking about it, I said, you know, this question has been so central in my life. It's been so central in our marriage. It's been so central in the way we've raised our kids. And in fact, as we talk about it and you move around our buildings at all of our Atlanta area campuses and our strategic partner churches, you'll see that the flavor or sort of the drive behind this question all over our building, literally on the walls. It's that big of a deal. Now, the passage that I was studying a long, long time ago where I bumped into this question is found in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And if you brought a Bible, you can turn there. If you've got YouVersion on your mobile device, you can turn there. You can pretend like you are as you do whatever else you're doing while I'm speaking. But anyway, we'd love for you to download YouVersion. It's a free online app. It's got several translations of the Bible, all kinds of cool tools. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 5. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through these verses so we can discover this together. But a couple things before we jump in. If you're not a Bible person, what I would like for you to do for the next few minutes is just to kind of suspend your skepticism about the Bible, okay? We're not asking you to believe in Noah's Ark and Adam and Eve and all that. So just kind of put that off to the side. What we're going to look at are the words of a man named Paul, who you've probably heard of, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is an unusual guy because the Apostle Paul is a historical figure. Everybody believes there was a Paul. He wrote about half the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul, and this may be interesting to you, especially if this is your first time back in church or you're not really a church person. The Apostle Paul steps onto the pages of history not as a Christian, not as a Jesus follower. The Apostle Paul steps onto the pages of history as someone who is absolutely committed to eradicating Christianity because he was a Jewish leader, and you know, Christianity was kind of a knockoff Jewish cult kind of a thing in the first century. And so his goal in life was to get rid of Christianity. So he got permission from leaders in Jerusalem to go around arresting Christians and putting them in jail. And he decided within a few years, this thing was going to disappear. And he tells us his story in the New Testament that on a single day, he went from trying to get rid of all of these Jesus followers to becoming a Jesus follower. In one day, it wasn't a process, it wasn't over a period of time. In one day, he went from Christian hunter to leader of the Christians. He went from arrest them and put them to death to spend the rest of his life telling people they should become a Jesus follower. And let me tell you what that would be like. And again, you don't have to accept it. Any of this, but it's just to put it in context. If you're a Democrat, imagine on the way to work, before you got to work, on the way to work, suddenly you became a Republican. And not only did you become a Republican, when you got to work, you tried to convince all the people at work that were Democrats to become Republicans. Okay, let's turn around. You're a Republican. Imagine on the way to work, something so amazing happened to you that you became a Democrat in your car before you got to work. And not just a Democrat. You got there and you went around to all of your Republican friends that were about to become ex-Republican friends because either they were going to become Democrats or they weren't going to be your friend, okay? And you decided, I'm going to spend the rest of my life converting Republicans to Democrats. Now, if you think about that for a second, you think, Andy, that's impossible. That would require an act of God, to which Paul would say, and that's exactly what happened to me. I'm telling you, I was all about arresting Christians and then I became one. How did it happen, Paul? Well, he tells us in his words. So here's my point. If you're not really a Bible person, you're kind of a skeptic about the whole thing. In fact, you're not even sure why you're in church or why you're even watching this. I get that. So today, as we look at these verses, don't think, oh, well, I don't believe the Bible. This has nothing to do with you believing the Bible. This has to do with you listening to a man who lived in the first century that believed maybe what you believed or used to believe what you believe about Jesus, who became a Christian, who became a person who went around convincing other people to follow Jesus, who was a friend of the people who knew Jesus. And he wrote this like in the mid-50s, maybe 20-something years, maybe 20 years after Jesus lived. So this isn't long, long ago in a land far, far away, you know, 100 years after the fact. And he gives us this extraordinary, extraordinary life insight. And here's one more thing before we look at it. Even if you don't take the Bible seriously, and even if you don't take Christianity seriously, you should take this question seriously. Because as you're going to see, this is something for all of us. The good news is, if you're not a Christian, you get to decide whether or not you want to ask the question. It's optional for you. If you are a Christian, you have to ask it, okay? This is required of us. And I think as we unpack these verses together, you'll understand why it's so important. So here's what happened. The Apostle Paul, he's writing a letter, and he's writing it to a whole bunch of churches. This letter just got labeled Ephesians, but we know this was a letter that went around to a whole bunch of churches around the Mediterranean rim where he planted these churches. And in this letter, he's telling Christians how to live their lives. He's saying, look, you used to be in darkness, now you're in light. You used to, you know, get along just deceiving each other and mistreating people, but now you're a Jesus follower. You can't continue to deceive other people and you can't mistreat other people. Now you have to treat people not the way they treated you. Now you have to treat people the way your heavenly Father treated you through Christ. So he's saying, look, you've got to live a different kind of life. So he talks about deceit and immorality and the way they talk about each other. And he's very, 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 very practical, but he's smart. And he realizes, you know what? This is a hard sell because I'm asking people far away. I'm not even there. I'm writing them a letter. I'm asking them to live a completely different kind of life. I'm asking them to embrace a different lifestyle. And this is tough because they live in a culture, like our culture, they live in a culture that's not conducive to this kind of living. They live in a culture that's not conducive to this kind of transparency, this kind of honesty, this kind of forgiveness, this kind of morality. So what he does, he backs up a little bit and he says, okay, let me give you a baby step. Let me give you kind of a first step, and if you'll begin to ask this question, if you'll begin to look at every opportunity, every invitation, and every decision, every opportunity, every invitation, every decision, if you'll look at all of these things through this one simple grid, it's going to give you a head start. It's going to give you a baby step as it relates to living as somebody who's in the kingdom of light rather than the kingdom of darkness. So this is after some real practical hard stuff. He says, let me back up and let me help you ease into this. So here's the Apostle Paul, and here's what he says. We're just going to look at a couple of verses and then we're going to talk about the question. Here's what he says. He says, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. And the little word live is actually the word walk. In fact, in some Bible translations, it's translated walk. Be very careful then how you walk. And the Greek term careful is actually a visual term. It means look around. It means look around. Don't be careless. Be careful. It's like if you were walking somewhere and there were things you didn't want to step on, or there were things you didn't want to step in. He say, in that way, as you live your life, as you walk through life, I want you to be very careful. I want you to look down. I want you to look around. I want you to look behind. I want you to look ahead. Be very careful. Don't be careless how you live your life. And then he says specifically what he means by that. Not as unwise, but as wise. And in this verse, he equates unwise with careless, and he equates wise with careful. He says, I want you to be wise. I don't want you to be unwise. Unwise is just do whatever with whoever, whenever, and don't worry about the consequences. Careful is be careful, be wise, look at where you're going, think about where you've been, pay attention to what's going on around you. And then he continues, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to come back and look specifically at this word, but here's just sort of a heads up what he's talking about. This is a time word. In fact, literally, this is a word that points to time or a point in time. He says, look, I want you to take advantage of every opportunity you have, or specifically, I want you to redeem the time. You have a limited amount of time. Your greatest asset, your most precious asset, your irreplaceable asset is your time. So the way I want you to live your life, I want you to be careful. I want you to look around, look ahead, look back. I want you to be wise, and I want you to make good use of your time. And then look at this interesting phrase. He says, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Now, what does he mean by that? He means that you live in a time, he would say to his Ephesian friends, and he would say to all of us, you live in a time that if you were to lift up your feet and just go with the current of culture, you will end up in a place you don't want to be. If you just lift up your feet and move with the current of culture relationally, you'll end up somewhere relationally you don't want to be. You just pick up your feet and move with the flow of culture financially, you'll look back and wonder, how did I get here? This is not where I wanted to be financially. When you think about your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your husband, your wife, when you think about your profession, Paul says, look, the days that we live in, there are currents taking us in directions that none of us want to go in. So consequently, you can't be careless. You can't simply go with the flow, because the flow is going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. He says, the days are evil. Therefore, you've got to be careful. You've got to live as wise, not unwise, and you got to make the most of every opportunity. And then he says something specifically to Christians. So if you're not a Christian, you don't have to do this, but if you are, he just leans right into those of us who claim to be Jesus followers. And this is tough. He says this, therefore, do not be foolish, but, and I'll tell you why that's capital in just a minute, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, this is a little bit of a dig at those of us who look for loopholes. And all Christians, in fact, all religious people of any religion, we all look for loopholes. We all look for ways around what we know to do is right, right? We know, well, I know it says that, but. I know she asked me to, but. I know my parents always said, but I know it's probably the right thing to do, but we all look for loopholes. We all have excuses. So the Apostle Paul, because he knows the way we think, he knows the way the people in Ephesus and all of these new churches were thinking, he says, look, don't be foolish. Don't be careless. But, big contrast, understand what the Lord's will is. Now, the reason this is in capital letters is in the Greek language, there were two or three, but specifically two words that could be translated the word but. But the strongest one is the one he uses here. It's like a big but, okay? It's like, this is a huge, huge contrast. Just want to make sure you're paying attention. A huge contrast. And here's what he's contrasting. This is so huge because this sets us up for a question. He says, look, don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. Don't deceive yourself. Don't look for loopholes. Don't make excuses. Don't, you know, pretend like it's not, you didn't hear it. Don't pretend like you didn't understand. Don't pretend like you didn't know. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I want you to understand, or literally, I want you to face up to. I want you to own up to. I want you to tell yourself the truth. I want you to face up to what the Lord's will is. In other words, he's saying to Christians, look, you know what you ought to do. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know that if you're going to live carefully, you know what the current of culture is. You know that one thing leads to another. You already know this stuff, so quit playing around. Quit playing games. Quit talking yourself into things you should be talking yourself out of. And quit talking yourself out of things you should be talking yourself into. He says, look, come on. Understand or face up to what you know God's will is for you. You can talk yourself into stuff. You can talk yourself out of stuff. Teenagers, you can talk your parents into a corner. Hey, if you're an extrovert, you can just intimidate everybody into the corner. They're just going to say whatever, whatever, whatever. He says, look, don't do that. I want you to pause and face up to what you know God wants for you, what God's will is for you. And then I want you to do it. Now, those are the verses, but the thrust, kind of the central part of what he's teaching is this right here, where he says, but be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. That the litmus test for every opportunity, the litmus test for every decision, the litmus test for every invitation isn't what is everybody else doing, and it's not what did I do last time, and it's not what can I get away with. The question is, what is the wise thing for me to do? What is the wise thing for me to do? So here's the question we're going to ask for the next 6 weeks, and we're going to tease this out. What is the wise thing to do? So I want you to repeat that with me. Ready? What is the one more time. What is the okay, now I want you to think about you, and let's say it one more time. Ready? What is the why? Yeah, not your kids, not your husband who's not here, not I can't wait to send this to my brother-in-law. Yeah. What is the wise thing to do? Now, what we're going to do for the next few minutes is we're going to kind of look at this in three dimensions or three aspects. We're going to make it very, very personal. I'm going to try to make you as uncomfortable as possible, okay? So if you're uncomfortable, hey, then I'm being successful. That's okay. Because here's the thing. We're all so stinking smart. And the easiest person in the world for you to deceive is you. And the easiest person in the world for you to get into trouble is you. And very few of us look back at our worst decision and say, I don't know how I got myself into that. The truth is you know exactly how you got yourself into it. And I'll tell you how you got into it. You made, as we're going to talk about in 2 weeks, you made a series of unwise decisions that led you to a decision that was absolutely wrong. And when you made what you knew to be the wrong decision, you knew it was the wrong decision, but it was so easy. And the reason it was so easy is because you started with one unwise decision that led to another unwise decision that led to another. They weren't wrong. It wasn't bad. It wasn't against the law. If somebody caught you, you'd be able to talk your way out of it. But unwise, 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 big fat mess. And so Paul says, look, come on, we're adults. Let's just wise up. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's face up to what we know God's will is for us. And for every invitation, every opportunity, every decision, ask yourself the question, what is the wise thing for me to do? Now let's look at this in three dimensions. The first one is the past. In light of my past experience, what's the wise thing for me to do? Let's say this one out loud as well. Ready? Here we go. Well, in light of my one more time. That's a little bit weak, okay? I don't know if it's the time of day or it's like, I don't like this, you know, okay? So all of our churches, even if you're sitting at home alone in front of the computer or the television, here we go, ready? In light of my past, that's a little better. Now, here's the deal. This is so important. See, your past is your past. It's not my past. And my past is my past, not your past. So what may be okay for you to do may not be okay for me to do because of my past experience. See, what happened last time you went? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what happened last time she called and you called her back? And what happened last time you went with them? And what happened last time you spent the night? And what happened last time you decided to go? And what happened last time you said no? And what happened last time you snuck out? And what happened last time? In light of your specific past experience. Now, this is real important, so listen, we'll move on. Listen. Do you know why history keeps repeating itself for you financially and relationally? It's because you don't ask this question. And you think somehow you can do what you did last time, there'll be different results. And I know why, because we're all human, because you believe like I believe, like everybody believes. We believe we can manage outcomes. I can handle it. I know, honey, last time it didn't go well, but this time's gonna be different. And besides, you know, I've learned my lesson, this time it's gonna be different. Paul says, come on, don't be stupid. Don't lie to yourself. In light of your, not everybody else's, in light of your past experience, not what is the right thing to do. This is a better question than what's the right thing to do. Not what is the legal thing to do. This is a way better question than what is the legal thing to do. In light of your past experience, what is the wise thing, not for everybody else, in light of your past experience, what is the wise thing for you to do? See, you hate that, don't you? We hate that. You know why we hate this question? Because what was a little bit foggy, a little bit fuzzy, and a little bit yeah, but, suddenly the curtain parts and the mist falls and the clouds part, and suddenly, if I'm gonna make a decision based on what's wise for me, based on my past experience, unfortunately, I know exactly what I should do. And I know exactly where I shouldn't go. And I know exactly who I shouldn't invite. And I know exactly why it's a bad idea for me. In light of not everyone else's, in light of your past experience, what is the wise thing for you to do? If you want history to stop repeating itself financially and relationally, you ask and then you act on this question. The second one, similar. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my current circumstances, in light of what's going on right now, in light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? Let's read this one aloud with a little passion. Ready, everybody? Here we go. In light of my current circumstances. See, you just got married. Things are new now. In light of the fact that you just got married, what's the wise thing to do? I know you used to do that all the time with your friends, and yeah, you always took 2 weeks and did that, and yeah, you always, but come on. In light of your current, it's not bad, it's not wrong, it's not like you made a mistake all those other times, but in light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? You just went through a tough, tough, tough divorce, and you're ready for something and somebody new, and you think you met her or him. In fact, you had already met her or him. There's a little bit of an overlap, but hey, let's not get into that, okay? In light of your current circumstances, listen. In light of your current vulnerability, in light of where you are right now emotionally, what's the wise thing to do? Not forever, not for everybody else, for you. In light of your current circumstances, it's a brand new semester of school, and the last semester didn't end so well. And so you really need to knock it out of the park, and you really need to start off strong, and everybody's gonna take the next 2 days off of school and go on a trip. Is there anything wrong with taking a couple days off and going on a trip? Nope, you've done it in the past. You may do it in the future. But in light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing for you to do? You just started a new job. You just moved. Just had your first baby. Just had your second baby. Just had your third baby. just found out you're going to have a fight. You know what? In light of your occurrence, come on. Here's the deal. I want you to understand this. This isn't right or wrong. This isn't legal or illegal. This isn't what everybody else is doing. This isn't even what you've done. In light of your current circumstances, in light of what's going on right now with you financially, right now with your friends, right now with trying to get out of debt, right now, and the fact that you just moved into a new neighborhood, new house, the fact that your mom's going through a tough time, in light of what's going on right now, what is the wise thing for you to do? Now, do you see, doesn't that bring extraordinary, in fact, uncomfortable clarity? And do you see, it's so easy for us to say, well, I think it's going to be all right. I think it's going to be okay. I mean, I've done this every year. I've done this every week. You know, this is what I always do. That's why this is such a good question. In light of your current circumstances, what is not right, not legal, what is the wise thing for you to do? This is a better question. And then maybe the most powerful and dynamic aspect of all. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? You ready to read this one? Here we go. In light of my See, we're all old enough to have at some point in our past thrown away some future hopes and dreams. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to trade in tomorrow for something today that I will not own tomorrow. What a terrible decision to trade in a future relationship for a relationship I have now that I already know isn't going to be with me in the future. It's always a bad idea to trade in what you want in the future for something you want now that you know you're not always going to want in the present. I'm telling you, this component alone has the power to change the trajectory of your entire life. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? And here's the deal, come on. Some of you run around with some people who do not have future hopes and dreams. So they live for the present and they live for the now, and they think about 2 weeks ahead whenever they're gonna get paid again. Or they think in terms of, when is the summer gonna roll around? Or when is an event gonna roll around? Or when's the next concert? Or when's the next trip? Or when's the next, but you have hopes and dreams. You have a vision for your life. And the worst thing you can do is to allow the people around you to rob your future because they've got you so locked in on now, and they're going, hey, there's nothing wrong. Everybody's going. You've done it before. It's not illegal. Nobody's going to find out. And even if they find out, you can manage the consequences. Come on. Why in the world would you trade your future for something or someone that's not going to be with you in the future? See, this is a better question than what's right. This is a better question than what's legal. This is a better question than what did we do last summer. In light of your future hopes and dreams, in light of where you want to be someday, what's the wise thing, not for everybody else because they don't share your hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for you? You want to finish with her? You want to finish with him together in the future? Then that determines what you do today. You want to end up somewhere better professionally than maybe your parents and maybe the people you ran around with high school or maybe even in college? Then that determines what you do today. You want to be secure financially in the future? That determines what you do today. In light of my future hopes and dreams, not what can I get by with, what's the wise thing to do? Now, come on. Don't you wish you'd been asking that question your whole life? And not just asking the question, acting on it. Isn't it true, whether you're Christian or not, religious or not, isn't it true you would probably be better off relationally, financially, and maybe even emotionally if you've been asking that question and acting on that question? It's that powerful. Here's the deal. Personal vision, you know this. Personal vision is often the catalyst for wise decisions. That's why New Year's resolutions are a good idea. That's why goals are a good idea. That's why writing them down is a good idea. That's why putting it in a place where you can see it, in some cases every single day, to fasten your eyes and to fasten your heart on where God wants you to be in the future. Because making decisions today based on the future is the wise thing to do? In light of your future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing? Not for everybody else. They don't share your hopes and dreams. The wise thing for you to do. All right, so let's put this whole thing together. So we're going to put it all together. Here's the question. Here's what we're going to talk about for the next 6 weeks. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? You ready? Everybody at home, everybody online, everybody on television, everybody in the room at all of our Atlanta churches all over the country, all together, out loud. Ready? One, two, three. In light of my past experience. That's good. It's real good. See, that's a game changer, isn't it? And I know you wish so-and-so was here, but let's not worry about them. Now, here's the thing. I've been doing this a long time. Here's what I know. Nobody plans to screw up their lives. Nobody. People just don't plan not to. I'm absolutely convinced of that. People do not plan to mess up their lives. They just don't plan not to. This question is how you plan not to. Nobody gets married the first time looking for that second marriage. Nobody goes into their financial and professional life looking forward to a bankruptcy. Nobody goes into a healthy relationship looking for a way to make it unhealthy. Nobody plans to wreck and ruin and screw up their lives. People just don't plan not to. This is how you plan not to. Every invitation, every opportunity, every decision, in light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Honey, in light of our past experience, in light of our current circumstances, in light of our future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for us to do? Family, in light of our past experience, our current circumstances, our future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for us to do? And you'll know. It just brings painful clarity. But come on, you're old enough to know this as well. You ask this question over and over and over, and you'll have less tears, right? Far fewer regrets. You'll foolproof, just about foolproof your relationships, and you'll just about foolproof your financial world. Because this is the better question. So should we be surprised that God, who loves you, that God who says, I want to function as your heavenly Father, should we be surprised that throughout the Old and New Testament, we are called to live at the level of not what can we get by with, not even simply what's legal, but what the wise thing to do is. So I'm going to give you some homework, all right? So here's your homework. We don't normally have homework at church, but this is real simple. In fact, you don't have to change anything, so don't panic, okay? Here's your homework. Your homework is to simply ask it. That's it. This week, for a week, I just want you to ask the question. Now, listen real carefully. I don't want you to do anything different. Unless you're like an overachiever and you want to get ahead, that's fine. But for the rest of us, I'm not asking you to make any wise decisions. I just want you to ask the question so that you would know what you would do were you to be wise. That's it. Now, this is important. I'm not being facetious. I'm serious as I can be. This is so important because I know what some of you are thinking. It's like, you already know what this will lead to. So I'm not asking you to do anything different. I'm not asking you to go home and break up with somebody or, you know, go turn your car back in and get out, unwind out of that lease. Don't do anything. I just want you to start a new habit of every invitation, opportunity, decision. What is the wise thing for me to do? And just ask yourself the question, because here's what I know about you. You owe it to yourself to know the answer to that question, whether you do anything about it or not. You owe it to yourself to know the answer to that question, whether you ever act on it or not. And here's what I already know, because I've been doing this a long time, been asking this a long time. When you ask the question, you immediately learn something about yourself. So teenagers, I want you to ask the question. Okay, what's the wise thing to do? And here's what's going to happen. If you're a teenager, when you ask the question, what's the wise thing to do? The wise thing is going to sound eerily familiar to what mom and dad have been telling you. Now, wait, don't panic, teenagers. I'm with you. I got your back, okay? Here's the deal. I'm not asking you to do what they tell you to do. I just want you to go, what have I just learned? I ask, what's the wise thing to do? And it sounds kind of like what they've been telling me to do. Now, you're not about to go to them and tell them. I understand that. But come on, teenagers, listen. But what does that say about you? You just learned something. All right. Hey, if you're an employer, you're a manager, a director, a division leader, maybe you own your own company, and you start asking, what's the wise thing to do? And every once in a while, in fact, maybe this week, what's the wise thing to do? And it sounds eerily familiar to what the people on your team have been telling you to do. But you've been pushing back, and you're not about to go to them and say, you know what? You guys were right. You just learned something about you. Husbands, you know, what's the wise thing? Oh my gosh, that's what my wife's been telling me. And you're not about to tell her. What does that say about you? And ladies, wives, if you start asking this question, what is the why? Now, this is very important, ladies. If you start asking the question, what is the wise thing to do? And it sounds like something your husband's been telling you, that's a miracle. Because we're not usually that clued in, okay? So that's amazing. You need to just go throw your arms around your husband and say, I hit the jackpot. I didn't even know it. I mean, oh my gosh, okay? Now here's the deal. We're done, okay? Listen. This is important. Whether you're a Christian or not, religious person or not, maybe you're part of a different religion. You're like, wow, this is helpful, and I didn't know it was in the Bible. That's okay. Here's what I want you to think about. If this is so important, then we're done. If something in you resists this idea, you just discovered something about you. And let me tell you what it is. And this isn't comfortable. This is painful. But I need to say this, okay? Because you may not come back, all right? Listen. If there's something in you that says, I'm not going to ask that stupid question. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not listening. You know, whatever you're doing to get through the last 45 seconds of our time together. Let me just tell you something you've learned about you. You don't have your own best interest in mind. You don't have your own best interest in mind. Now, if you don't have your own best interest in mind, who's going to have your best interest in mind? Do you know what else you just discovered? That maybe, maybe pushing a little bit, maybe if there is a God, and if God actually inspired these words, it's possible that God has your best interest in mind and you don't. You just learned something. And if you don't have your best interest in mind, then one day you're gonna wake up in a place you don't wanna be. You're gonna end up somewhere you never planned to be. You're gonna make dumb decisions, not because you plan to make dumb decisions. You just forgot to plan not to, because this is how you plan not to. And you don't wanna do that. And I don't even know you, and I don't want you to do that. And you don't want the people that are depending on you to watch you do that. So regardless of what you think about me, and regardless of what you think about God and church and the Bible, don't you owe it to yourself to start asking? In light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? So this week, all I want you to do is ask it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for preserving these words. They're so powerful, and they're so convicting, and they're painfully clarifying. And yes, Father, many of us admit today, we wish we'd been asking this question a long time. So please give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we just heard, and then give us the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.